This is the last day of this November 2011 seven-day session. And we'll take up another koan today. This is also, like yesterday's, in the Mumon Kan. It's number 12. Zuigan calls Master. Here's the case. Every day, Zuigan used to call to himself, "O Master," and would answer himself, "Yes?" "Be awake, be awake," he would exclaim, and then answer, "Yes, yes." "Do not be deceived by others any day, any time." "No, I will not." And that's the case. We'll save Mumon's commentary and verse for later. Zuigan, as usual, is the Japanese name of his. He's a Chinese master. His Chinese name is spelled R-U-I-Y-A-N. So is that Ruyan or Ruan? Whatever it is, we're going to stick with the Japanese. Zuigan. It's just easier. In this case, anyway. I know I'm very inconsistent, but sometimes it's just that how easily it's pronounced that decides. So we have no dates for Zuigan, but like yesterday's koan with Sozan, he's around the 9th century sometime. In his early years, he studied under one famous master, but later he switched to the great Yentao or Ganto. And this is the initial meeting between Zuigan and Ganto. Zuigan asked Ganto, "What is the fundamental unchanging principle?" Ganto said, "It's moved." Zuigan said, "How about when it moves?" Ganto, "You don't see the fundamental unchanging principle." Zuigan thought for a moment. Ganto said, "If you agree, you are not yet free from the senses and their dust. If you do not agree, you're forever sunk in birth and death." Now, from one of these sources of this material, I found that at this point in time, in this time of this exchange, Zuigan was a boy. But I only found that in one source. But it is unusual in a Dharma exchange like this to have the statement "Zuigan thought for a moment." That you'd think that'd be more the case with a boy. But then he goes on, after Ganto says, "If you agree, you are not yet free from the senses and the dust. If you do not agree, you're forever sunk in birth and death." And upon hearing these words, Zuigan experienced deep awakening. We're reading from Zen's Chinese Heritage again, translated by Andy Ferguson. He then bowed to Ganto. Thereafter, whenever Ganto questioned Zuigan to test his understanding, Zuigan never erred. Later, Zuigan went back to see his first teacher, Jiashan. Jiashan asked, "Where have you come from?" Zuigan said, "From Wolong," which translated means reclining dragon. Jashan said, when you came, had the dragon arisen or not? Wouldn't require much of anyone here to decode what that question is. Had that dragon arisen or not? Zuigan stared at Jashan. Jashan said, when the wound is cauterized, a scar is left there. Zuigan said, why is the master still embittered in this manner? Jashan let it rest. Let's just pause here. Again, we get into translation complications. This statement by Jashan, after it says that Zuigan stared at him, and Jashan says, when the wound is cauterized, a scar is left there. Well, another translation refers to moxa treatment. Moxa treatment is a traditional Chinese form of treatment where you bring heat to the area by burning this kind of a stick, like an incense stick. Well, that's not the such a big difference between the two translations. But then when Andy Ferguson here has Zuigan saying, why is the master still embittered in this manner? What another translator, this is Sekida, what he says is, what's the use of your undergoing such torture? They're very different translations. What's the use of your undergoing such torture? Anyway, in any case, Jashan let it rest. Zuigan then said to Jashan, acting in this manner is easy. Not acting in this manner is hard. Acting this way over and over again is being alert. Not acting in this way over and over again is residing in the empty world. Acting or not acting, please, Master, speak. Jashan said, I deceived you. Zuigan said, this old monk, what time is this? Zuigan then went out. Later, a monk told Ganto about this. Ganto said, how difficult. My branch came from acting in this way. You can see why with koans too, there are differences in translations and differences in translations sometimes, not often, but sometimes translates as different interpretations of the same koan. Here's another exchange between Zuigan and a monk. A monk asked, when a crown appears on the head and flowery clouds at the feet, what is it? I think this is a description of some of the renderings of kind of celestial Buddhas. Crown on the head and flowery clouds at the feet. So the monk is familiar with this Buddhist art, it seems, and he wants to get something going. So what is it? Zuigan said, a fool in manacles. The monk said, when there's no crown above nor flowery clouds underfoot, then what? Zuigan said, still in manacles. The monk said, then, after all is said and done, what is it? Zuigan said, being tired after the banquet. You know, these It may be, we don't know, it may be that this exchange happened after a banquet in the monastery, in the temple. And that would put one cast to that reply. After all is said and done, what is it? Being tired after the banquet. Lin Chi put it slightly differently. When he's asked about the essential truth of the Dharma, he said, when hungry I eat, when tired I sleep. A monk asked, what is Buddha? Zuigan said, a stone ox. The monk asked, what is Dharma? Zuigan said, the child of a stone ox. The monk said, then they're not the same? Zuigan said, don't combine them. The monk said, why can't you combine them? Zuigan said, they're in no way equivalent. How could you combine them? And then just one final story. Once an old woman from the village came to pay her respects to the master. Zuigan said to her, quick, go back and save the lives of thousands of beings. The woman hurried back to her house. There she found that her daughter-in-law had brought in snails from the fields. The old woman released them at the shore of a lake. Strange occurrences related to Master Zuigan are too numerous to record here. Zuigan's second master, Ganto, was quite known to those who are familiar with these collections of koans. Turns out that this Zuigan was the only prominent disciple of Ganto. So now back to the case. This calling and answering is the only recorded such presentation by a master that I've ever heard about, where he's calling to himself and answering himself. There are those who say that Zuigan would do this not privately, but as a kind of a little teisho. He would do it publicly in front of his monks, which puts a whole different cast to it than if we thought that he was doing this alone. In Andy Ferguson's book that we were just reading from, it's not so clear the way he translates it here. He says, Zuigan went to live at Zuigan Monastery, where he sat on a large rock. Each day he would call out, Master, and so forth. one could read that as him sitting off in the woods in a large rock by himself and doing this dialogue, but it doesn't quite say that. And it makes a lot more sense to me that Zuigan is doing this as a demonstration, as a teaching exercise for his monks. Still, you could say that a teacher is in teaching is never addressing exclusively the listeners, or if he is, he or she himself is one of those listeners. One of the great privileges of teaching the Dharma is in having to articulate it reasonably clearly. There's something about doing that and hearing oneself saying the teaching that helps the teacher himself get it better. This was kind of a consensus at one of our Zen teachers meetings, where people agreed that there's nothing like having to give a talk to make you get a hold of that teaching, to have it really clarify itself. Well, we all know this. It's like writing a paper. Students know that when you have to write a paper, you get a lot more clear about the topic. So here, in speaking, in teaching, it's also learning. It's the teacher is also the student, even in this limited way of hearing herself or himself teach the Dharma. And after all, who other than oneself could the teacher be addressing? Who is there but this one self? We can suppose that Zuigan is very earnest about his practice. Though he had a deep awakening, he knew very well that even after awakening, one's practice goes on. That until full awakening, there are still more polishing, more clarifying we need to do. As we said earlier in Sesshin, famous words of Zen, though the wind ceases, the waves still surge. And the waves, fundamentally, are this deep-seated, whatever residue there may be of the notion of self and other, which we have been buying into for not just this whole life, but lifetimes and lifetimes. We have divided the world into self and other. Even seeing through this illusion doesn't mean that we still don't get caught by it. And Zuigan undoubtedly knows this. And for the monks to hear the master himself doing this mindfulness exercise, Oh, Master, yes. Be awake, be awake. Yes, yes. Don't be deceived by others, any day, any time. No, I will not. It's a way for Zuigan to dramatize not only his ongoing commitment to seeing through this dichotomy, this illusory dichotomy, but also a commitment, showing his commitment to his own practice, and dramatizing that in a very real sense we're all in the same boat, teacher or not, awakened or not. I remember feeling vaguely uncomfortable when Roshi Kaplow would acknowledge that he still had work to do on himself, still had some blind spots and things to work out. I think that's just a sign of immaturity on the part of the student, maybe a kind of romanticizing the teacher, idealizing the teacher. There's a saying in Zen, if you've gone all the way, keep going. You only get it when you're halfway. There's another one, even Shakyamuni is only halfway there. Zuigan here is announcing over and over, reminding his monks that this is all what it all comes down to. This is the root delusion, self and other. The cause of our sorrow is ego delusion. But it would be a mistake to make too much of this as a personal exercise for Zuigan's own benefit to have to remind himself. This is one level of what the koan is presenting. Something much more fundamental. When he says, O Master, whom is he really addressing? He says, be awake, be awake. Of course, he means fully awake. Don't settle for anything less than supreme, perfect enlightenment. Do not be deceived by others who are others. Who could be others? Can anyone deceive us other than ourself? So the deeper point that Zuigan is making here is beyond just a kind of ethical practice exercise of reminding himself. A Shibayama Roshi, who's a Japanese Rinzai Roshi, who came out with his own commentary of on the Mumonkan, in talking about this exercise that Zuigan would do each day, he said, he quotes a Zen saying, "The dragon enjoys its jewel." In Buddhist imagery, the dragon is always holding a jewel in one of its claws. Is Zuigan playing with this jewel? Flashing its light in our faces? Who is calling? Who? Who is calling Mu? Who is calling who? Who is asking what? Is there a response? How could there not be a response? Who could be other? There's a verse from a poem called Antigonish by Hugus Mernes, who said, "As I was going up the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish to God he'd go away." Well, we have a method, a way to get this man and this woman to go away. He or she is only there in our thoughts. When our thoughts fall silent, this little man goes away. Zen Master Hakuin, addressing this split that really is what fuels our seeking. He said, "The monkey is reaching for the moon in the water. Until death overtakes him, he'll never give up. If he'd let go of the branch and disappear in the deep pool, the whole world would shine with dazzling pureness." That pool is Mu. Is this just this? Let's turn to Mumon's commentary. "Old Zuigan himself sells and himself buys. He brings forth a lot of masks of goblins and demons and plays with them. How so? Look and see. A calling one, an answering one, an awake one, and one that will not be deceived by others. If you take these different appearances as really existing, you are altogether mistaken. If you imitate Zuigun, your understanding is that of a fox. Well, this is Mun's typical style. Facetious, playful. Holding up this case as the kind of theater that it is. Warning us not to to imitate Zuigun, just as he says. For Zuigun, this came out of his own deep experience and became part of his practice. For the rest of us to do it just because he did it would be show a misunderstanding. Although, just because we might do it doesn't mean it wouldn't be genuine. Modeling our behavior after a master or anyone else doesn't mean mere imitation. And now, Mumon's verse. Those who search for the way do not realize the truth. They only know their old discriminating consciousness. This is the cause of the endless cycle of birth and death. Yet ignorant people take it for the original self. Here, Mumon himself is quoting an earlier master when he says these first two lines. Those who search for the way do not realize the truth. They only know their old discriminating consciousness. Discriminating, of course, in the sense that to think that the truth is somewhere else, that the truth is other than here, now, mu. That's called discrimination. Dividing what is not divisible. The truth is that there is not just this and that, separate and disconnected. That there are just different forms, different appearances of this one mind. And that in fact, there are no gaps between what we see as different existences, different times, differences in space, that everything is partaking of everything else. Everything is flowing as one, interpenetrating. In Zen, as another form of training and practice, there is this this respect for no gaps in various ways. In terms of instruments, people who have heard the beginning of a round of sitting when the han is being played, that there is no gap between the last strike of the han and the clappers. We'll have noticed that in our chanting with the lead chanter introducing and intoning the different parts, there too the strikes on the kesus, on the gongs, There are no gaps between them. It all flows from one thing to another. This is just not just a simple exercise, but it is a demonstration of how things are. Things are not separate and disconnected. In Zen as well, it's common, at least in Japan, when someone calls to you, just answer with no gap. Cecily.
Yes.
One mind. No holes. This may seem a little artificial to people, but it's a way of getting it into your body, of embodying this realm of oneness, non-separation. Zazen is the fundamental way, and there are these secondary ways, through instruments, through response, immediate response. Yasutani Roshi. Hit several of these points in the following passage where he said, one's environment or circumstances of one's life are a reflection of one's mind. It's like an echo which reverberates according to the sound of our voice. Instead of trying to change our environment when we are unhappy, we need to change ourselves, since our environment is the reflection of ourselves. There is nothing beyond one's consciousness. To think otherwise is to live in a dream world. And then Mumon picks up, this is the cause of the endless cycle of birth and death, yet ignorant people take it for the original self. Referring to what he calls the old discriminating consciousness. This notion of a separate self, the ego. Sung San is affirming faith in mind, puts it very simply, not to. Not to. Just mu. Time is up. We'll stop and recite the four vows.